Good morning, El Paso. As we move into the year 2020 and reflect on the first 20 years of the 21st century, what comes to your mind? What memories come to you almost instantly over the last 20 years? As I reflected on this question, I realized that I'm very prone to forget the good things and remember the bad things. Or perhaps I remember a lot of things that don't really matter nearly as much as my personal victories. We're very prone to forget our victories and remember only our failures. Our minds kind of wrap around the negative and forget about the positive. Do you remember the national motto chanted after 9/11? I sure do. I mean, it just stuck to me so much after that because I remember where I was. I remember watching the buildings fall live on TV. And the national motto was, "We will never forget." And you still see it. You'll still see two light beams in the sky where the World Trade Center used to be with the words, "We will never forget." And, you know, as I look back on it, for a month or so, we didn't forget. For a month or so after the 9/11 tragedy, to a large degree, the country united and linked arms. In Congress, they held hands, they sang hymns, they read Bible verses. Then they forgot. They forgot to the point where our country is divided now more than it has ever been. They forgot about the unity that was brought when we realized we have a common enemy who has attacked us within our borders, and we must unite in order to move forward. A house divided cannot stand, and I think people today don't realize that. I think the more divided we get and the more hateful we get, somehow that's going to make make progress toward wherever, whatever the view is trying to be presented. But it actually has been confirmed that God says, if you're divided within yourselves, a nation can't stand or a house can't stand. And in Joshua chapter 4, God told Israel to do something to help them not to forget, and not to forget the unity they had when they were coming into the promised land. So God had done a wonderful miracle in their life. They had come up to a flooded Jordan River that was completely flooded, and he parted the waters just like he did at the Red Sea so that they could pass through the flooded river they could have never passed through before and enter into the promised land. But God knew that they would forget if they don't set up memorial stones. So God told them to take 12 memorial stones out of the riverbed and set them up as a memorial so that when their kids asked them, "Hey, what are these stones doing there?" they would tell their children the story of how God brought them through the Jordan. And what a great reminder that is to us, and what a wonderful idea that was that God had to help Israel remember. Those stones stayed there for a very long time, and they didn't forget for a long time that victory because of those stones. Now, they did forget and rejected God ultimately and violated the warning that he gave them in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 12. The final warning of Moses to Israel was, "Beware that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, out of the house of bondage. Beware that you do not forget." And just before that, he had said, you know, when your bellies are full, when you're doing well, when you're being successful, and your houses are full of nice things, you're going to forget. So he gave them a warning, "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Don't forget where you came from." So he goes on. There's many other warnings in Scripture regarding forgetfulness. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verses 7 and 8, they say, "Remember, do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness." So he's saying, don't forget about how you provoked him. Don't forget about where he brought you and the mercy he showed you, even though you provoked him to wrath. In Judges chapter 8, it says, "Then it came about, as soon as Gideon was dead, that the sons of Israel again played the harlot with the Baals, and the Baals were with their God. Thus the sons of Israel did not remember the Lord their God, who had delivered them from the hands of the enemies on every side. So it didn't take Israel very long to forget, even when they had those memorial stones. Many of them for years, for hundreds of years, did look at those stones and remember, but the nation as a whole started worshiping other gods and they forgot. And I often ask myself, how prone to forgetfulness about the wonders and greatness of God am I? There's more warnings in Scripture as well about this. To the unbelievers, in Psalm chapter 50, verse 22, God says, "Now consider this, you who forget God, or I will tear you in pieces, and there will be none to deliver." So the unbelievers are actually no God by nature. It says in Romans 1 that nature itself presents the knowledge of God, and basically what an unbeliever does is they reject the knowledge that has been given to them. They forget God, and their futile hearts are darkened, and they willfully forget, and they're willfully ignorant about the things of God, because the evidence of God is so clear and so obvious in the world around us. You look around, you look at a painting, and you know a painting has a painter. You look at a building, and you know a building has a builder. And how much more awesome is creation? So creation must have a creator. So in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, you can look at that and see that the evidence of God is clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, so that men are without excuse. But we forget God. We forget Him. And in Psalm 78, verses 40, you see how often they rebelled against Him in the wilderness and grieved Him in the desert. Again and again they tempted God and pained the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember His power the day when He redeemed them from the adversary. In Psalm 106, they made a calf in Horeb, and they worshipped a molten image. Thus they exchanged their glory for the image of an ox that eats grass. They forgot God their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt. And in Psalm 103, the psalmist says to himself, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits." We need these reminders to remember what God has done, the amazing things that God has accomplished in our lives, if we will look carefully and record them. So what I did, I decided, since I'm so prone to forget, I decided to write down the memorial stones in my life of where God has delivered me in my life. And I was shocked. I thought maybe I'll get 7, maybe I'll get 5. But I wound up with about 25 clear memories in my life where God provided deliverance, and some it was quite miraculous. And I want to share those with you now. 25 times as I look back over my life, and the sad thing is, I know there's much more than this, but I've probably just forgotten. And you may listen to these things that I'm about to read and go, "Wow, you've lived a dangerous life," or that's something remarkable about your life. But actually, I would propose to you and challenge you to do the same thing yourself. You might be surprised at all of the times God has delivered you. Think of the time where you almost got hit by a car in a car accident, or had very close to a head-on collision. Think of, as you go back through, think of those times where it was almost miraculous how you were saved. And if you're listening to this and you're struggling in your life, and maybe you're a little down or depressed, I would just propose this to you. You are alive today. You have ears to hear. You're breathing air. And God has a plan for you. And so I would challenge you to do this. Go back, mark, even if it's just a few times of deliverance, and thank God for delivering you and bringing you to where He is today. And ask Him if to help you to live a life that brings glory to Him in the future. So normally when we think of New Year's resolutions, we think of moving forward. Forget about the past, let's move forward. But here, what I'm asking you to do is not to forget the times in your past where God delivered you, and to remember those times as you move forward. Because no matter what, even an unbeliever has been delivered in many ways by God to the point where they are still alive and they still have a chance. And so if you're not sure that you're saved, you have the chance still to embrace salvation and move forward and thank God that you still have air to breathe in the land of the living. And so as I looked back over my life and all the times that God delivered me, it started when I was about 3 years old. I have this memory in my mind where I was in the driveway of my house, and my parents had got us big wheels back then. Some of you may remember, it was like a plastic tricycle, but it was, you could kind of ride them around and you had to push the pedals really fast. And I rode my big wheel out into the street without looking for cars. And I looked up and there was a truck that was so close to me, it looked like a semi, but it was just a big green pickup truck. And it almost ran me over. And I remember getting out of that, and it's just a memory in my mind of going, wow, I could have been roadkill there. And I was very scared, but God delivered me from that as I look back on it. Then when I was 10 years old, I almost got shot when I was out shooting guns with my friends. I thought they were done shooting, and we were being very reckless. They were shooting across the front of a pickup truck, and I walked right out in front of the truck at the same instant they started shooting their guns. Bullets are whizzing by my head, and I could have easily been dead there, but I survived. And God spared me from a very foolish circumstance that could have killed me. I remember my dad being greatly delivered in his life when I was 11 years old. He had a significant fall when he was hiking, and his head landed on a log, and an end of one of the sticks from the log jabbed into his ear, deep into his ear, and broke off inside of his head. And it was a very scary time for us. I remember being in school, and we got a phone call that my dad had hit his head and he was in the hospital. And it was very traumatic for me. But at the time, my parents didn't have any money. And I had saved up $37. And I gave it all to them and they took it. That shows you how desperate they were. And so thankfully, God delivered him from that fall. And the surgeon saved his ear and everything. And my mom told me, that was really neat that you gave us your money, because they didn't ask me for it. I just gave it to them. And she said, God will bless you for that. I had given all. And I remember going up fishing with my dad maybe 6 months after his fall. And we were driving up fishing, and I was thinking, it came into my mind to ask the Lord for something. And I asked him for a 20-inch cutthroat. And a cutthroat is a trout, and it's a big trout. I mean, I'd only caught little trout up to that point. And I remember my mom had told me God would bless me, and I thought, boy, I'd like to catch a big fish. So that's what I asked him for. And none of us were catching fish that night. There were only little minnows jumping around by shore. So I was goofing around. I had a big mother minnow fly on, and it had a hook in it. It was supposed to imitate like a big crawfish or something, a big bug in the water. And I was just messing around with the minnows by shore when all of a sudden the water just started churning and my line just yanks, and I knew I had something big on. And none of the other guys had caught any fish. And my dad came running over because he saw the water going, and a friend said, "Man, you must have a whale on there." And my dad came over and got the net and got it into the net after about a 5-minute fight. And it was a 20-inch cutthroat on the shore. My dad said, "Son, look at this. The hook isn't even in its mouth. The hook was just laying in its mouth in the net." And it was really remarkable. And no one else caught any fish that night. And I remember thinking, this is an incredible memory and I don't want to forget. Well, I think God knew I would forget. And so about a year later, I had frozen the fish and it was just sitting in our freezer. About a year later, my friend's dad runs over my bike on accident. Well, he couldn't pay for me to have a new bike because he was poor too, but he owned a taxidermy business. And he said, I'll tell you what, I'm really sorry for running over your bike. I'll mount that fish for you. And so as I'm sitting here giving you this message, I'm looking at that fish on my wall about 35 years later. It's mounted on the wall. There it is, as a memory to how God delivered my dad and how he rewards our gifts to him if we will give it all to him. We don't hold back. We give it all. That's when we get the desires of our heart. And it's not so much about the fish, but it's about the principle that God will return to us that which we give him in a much greater way than we could ever imagine. And he especially wants our hearts and our lives. But he doesn't just want half. He doesn't just want a quarter of your heart. He wants all your heart. He wants to give us a new heart as we move forward in our life. I remember when I was 14 years old, I got lost in the forest with my dad again when we were fishing, and we were lost at night. We had hiked into a pond that we had discovered. It was just a small pond, but it was packed with trout. And we had caught a bunch of fish. We were having a good time, and it got dark. And this was on the Grand Mesa in western Colorado. And those forests up there are easy to get lost in if you don't know your way. And we just took the wrong path out. We just turned the wrong way. And before we knew it, we were lost in the forest at night. I remember starting to get very concerned, and so did my dad. And we wandered about for a long time. And my dad finally says, you know, son, we better stop and pray and ask the Lord to help us. So I remember that we stopped and we prayed, and not just 5 minutes after we prayed, we found the route out of the forest. And I just remember I was so excited. I remember jumping up and down for joy when I saw our truck parked out there and that we had found the way out of that dark forest. Another time I remember I got myself into a big trouble at school when I was 14 years old. I got into a fist fight, and about 100 people showed up and were watching the fight, including kids from a high school. And then I got surrounded, and I was about to get beat up by a bunch of big high schoolers. It was a very serious situation. It was pretty scary for me, even though I got myself into it and probably deserved it. I was about to get beat up, and some great big Harley-looking guy out of nowhere stepped into the middle of those guys and just said, hey, that was a fair fight. Leave him alone. And I remember they all scattered. And again, I attribute that to God just delivering me from getting a beating that I probably richly deserved. 1 week after I got my driver's license, when I was 16 years old, I was T-boned by a guy. It was my own fault. I pulled right out in front of a guy with my friend, and I got T-boned. And neither of us got hurt. It was really remarkable that I survived that time in my life of such recklessness. And then again, later on, when I was 16 years old in football, I broke my leg. And in the x-rays, very severe fracture, it was shattered. And in the x-rays, you could see a large tumor on my bone. And it looked like it had eaten away at almost all my bone, which is why my leg broke in the football practice. And the doctor thought it was cancer, so they sent me to Denver. And for about 2 weeks, my parents thought I had bone cancer. And it was very scary, but it turned out to be benign. And again, God delivered me and allowed me to move forward. I recently showed the x-rays, although it's been about 30 years, I recently showed the x-rays to a friend of mine who is a doctor, and he said, boy, that looks like cancer to me. So again, I was very thankful that I have a memorial stone of those x-rays and the story from that in my life of how God delivered me. When I was 19 years old, I was riding a motorcycle, and I, believe it or not, I actually fell asleep riding my motorcycle down the highway. I was on a cruiser and I had a helmet on and I just was too relaxed. I didn't even think it was possible and I fell asleep. Thankfully, I woke up a few seconds later and I was off the road, but somehow I didn't wreck. And once again, God delivered me. Even though I didn't acknowledge it, God delivered me. Around that time in my life, I got into extreme whitewater rafting. And I took my brother on a whitewater rafting trip. And he got, in a series of events that I don't have time to tell right now, he got wrapped up in barbed wire underneath the raft, underneath the water. And he was, I felt totally helpless because I was sitting in the raft. We were lodged on a T-post that had punctured the raft. And my brother is stuck wrapped in barbed wire under the raft. And somehow he got out. He got himself untangled and he was bloody from head to toe, but he was alive. And God delivered me from that. That's almost worse when you get someone you love in trouble and something like that happens. Many other things come to mind, and I'm running out of time, but another occasion, I almost drowned when I was rafting when I was 20 years old. I got separated from the raft, and then I, on another occasion, I belly flopped off a cliff and barely made it out. When I was skiing, I did a large jump. When I was 22 years old, I landed on my head. I thought I was going to be dead or have a broken neck, and God saved me from that. One time when I was hunting, I was by myself and I found I was being followed by a mountain lion who was very close to me, only maybe less than 30 yards away watching me. And I got out of that one because something caused me to look. And when you look at a big cat like that, they'll often won't attack you. So it disappeared like a ghost into the forest. And God delivered me from that. I don't have time to say all of the other things, but there was a time when a fire was burning out of control, almost burned my house down. And I cried out to God, and the fire went out miraculously. I have no other way to describe it. Another time I was out hunting, and I almost stepped on a rattlesnake. And a rattlesnake was coiled right next to my leg, and it didn't bite me. He saved me from a serious electrocution incident. He saved me from significant attacks at work when I thought that my career might be on the line and I was attacked. A friend of mine gave me a note at church and it said, "When you hold your peace, I will defend you." And God had just said, "Don't forget that it is better to rely on me than your own strength." And it took me about 2 years to figure out how to stop fighting other people. But when I did, God defended me and he lifted me up to a whole new level. I remember my son, when I was 37 years old, fell into a pond. He was only 2 years old and he sunk straight to the bottom. And I barely saw him plop into that pond. I was talking to somebody and if I wouldn't have seen him, my son would have drowned. I was able to get him out. He got completely ran over by a go-kart. I remember I got a diagnosis of cancer when I was 38 years old, and the Lord delivered me from that, and especially from the fear of death of having a young family and being delivered from cancer. What a relief. He healed my wife from a chronic sickness that she had, and he saved my kids from a number of dangerous circumstances. And I just, as I went through these, it's just so remarkable. I found great confidence in all of the deliverances that God has done for me, all of the ways he's delivered me in my life. So my challenge to you is to consider the good things that God has delivered you out of. If you are alive and listening to this message, God has delivered you from some remarkably dangerous circumstances. Guaranteed, this is a dangerous world. Every time we go out and drive in a car, it's dangerous. And there are millions of different things that could take our lives. So God is constantly delivering us. But think of those landmarks where God has delivered you from an enemy. He's delivered you from death. He's delivered you from danger. And mark those down and remember those as you move forward in your life, that God loves you, that he loves you so much, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. and that he rose from the dead, and that he will deliver you from the ultimate death, the death and separation from God, if you put your trust in Jesus Christ. And I hope that you have done that. And if you haven't, I would encourage you to take God up on his offer of salvation. Cry out to him. Admit that you're a sinner that needs a Savior, and turn to Jesus Christ for salvation. And as you move forward in 2020, never forget the deliverance that God has provided through his Son, Jesus Christ.